What would you like to change? What is it you're happy with, and what is it that you're not and you'd like to change?
Actually, I have to say that I'm happy that I can do what I want to do and survive doing that.
Do you enjoy while you're painting?
Yeah, sure.
How many hours a day do you work?
Off and on all day.
What is going on with y'all, man? It is Black Balloon, and I'm coming back with another video, man, so y'all already know what's going on, alright? Alright, y'all, I'm sure by the title, y'all can tell why we are here today, back with another one on this Sunday Sacrifice series, alright? So, check this out. Just so you know, this video is not out of left field. A lot of people in the past used to ask me to cover this story. I don't know why I never did it, but what brought it to my attention this time was I had a clip that I was going to show y'all in like one of those reaction videos, right? Where I was just reacting to different clips. And it was of Benny Siegel. Maybe the interview he did was close to a year ago. Can't really remember. Maybe like 8 or 9 months. And he was talking about a ritual that Jay-Z does before recording his albums, or as he is recording the album. He wears a certain rapper's chain that died in the 90s, who was sacrificed as well, that we're going to get to in the clip, right? The clip is maybe about a minute long. What caught my attention was someone in the comments had said something about Jay-Z and Basquiat, right? And they had said something about the hair, and basically they were, you know, saying that he tries to channel the spirit of Basquiat with the whole image of him, you know, the freeform dreads looking just alike. And basically, he's also channeling the spirit of the rapper's chain that he was wearing at the time when he was recording his albums. It instantly made me think about the whole channeling spirits thing, you know, which we have talked about many times. And to have, you know, something that was worn by a person who's now dead makes it even stronger to channel that person spiritually, or whatever you do to feel the spirit of that person, you know, whatever you choose to allow to possess you.
And like, you know, Sinatra, you know, in my time, you know, modern day Sinatra. So, you know, I try to live up to that, you know. I get possessed by the spirits.
You know, it makes it even easier to have an artifact that person once possessed who's now dead, right? I said, okay, perfect time for me to just go down the rabbit hole of Basquiat. We know he was 27. He's a part of the 27 Club. And, you know, I was like, boom. So we have to talk about Andy Warhol as well. I was very surprised at what I found. Mind you, I haven't really been down this rabbit hole until I really took the time to research some of the stuff. So y'all know I have like 2 articles I have to read from that sort of, you know, gives us a background on Basquiat and the relationship between him and Andy Warhol, which I found to be quite interesting, surprising. Didn't know. It was the way it was. But we're going to get into all that, all right? And should make for a pretty good Sunday Sacrifice video, all right, y'all? So with that being said, we'll go ahead and check out this first clip of Benny Siegel talking about Jay-Z. We'll come back and we'll talk about it a little more, all right? Check it.
Jay had no process. Only seen Jay do like one thing, like, that wasn't a process. I think it was like more like a little, for lack of better terms, a little ritual. I know he always, when he was working on his albums, he would wear a Biggie chain. His Cuban with the Jesus piece. Jay rocked that. He wouldn't get no cut neither until he finished the album. He'll wear a big personal chain. That was Biggie chain.
Wow.
Yeah, he would wear that.
Damn. and you never seen him pick up a pen or a paper?
Never.
Do you write?
No.
Oh, you don't write?
No. I picked that up from Jack.
And I'm like, that's when I start saying crazy stuff, because I look and I go, oh, that's your big homie, right? And so you image yourself after a gay painter. Your big homie want to look like a gay painter.
What are we talking about here?
We're talking about Basquiat. He wants to look like a gay painter.
Some of these rumors been around about people for a long time. You've been hearing little things about them. And have I heard little shit about Jay-Z? Yup. Do I think that he's trying to emulate himself and present himself as a gay painter, like to look like Basquiat? Yup, I do. I think 50 Cent was right about that. I think that's a code to, especially to white people, that he's approachable, he's cultured, but Basquiat was also bisexual. So is that a code that you're trying to tell these white people too, by trying to emulate this guy? I don't know, but it doesn't look good. Why do people have such an affinity for Basquiat anyway?
Now, y'all gonna have to bear with me, because I didn't know any of this stuff. Now, just because I do all of this research, I can't, you know, come across everything at one time. I'd literally never heard 50 Cent, you know, speak of Jay-Z wanting to look like Basquiat, right? Never heard that in my life. That second clip was the guy, Lord Jamar, that's on Vlad TV a lot of times, right? And when I was doing the research for the video, you know, of course, digging into Andy Warhol and Basquiat's relationship, you know, came across a few videos. One of them had major copyright on it I couldn't really use, and, you know, came across this photo as well. But also, you know, he had a bunch of girlfriends as well. They say he did date Madonna, but I didn't know this. And when I saw this photo, it just completely confirmed everything. I mean, Andy Warhol, he looks like his last name. Like, his last name just sounds a little monstrous to me. Warhol. I don't know. He has a skeleton face. He was a lot older. I have no idea what would have, you know, made these two a pair. But then again, when it comes to some of these artists, you know, and how free they like to be and be themselves and all of that good stuff, I don't know. I can't say anything about the mindset of these two and what attracted them to each other. But clear as day that, you know, they were highly involved. I mean, he's behind this man, but holding on to his waist. It, crazy. But like I said, you got to bear with me, because I didn't know any of this. I've never seen this picture in my life. And when we think about it back to Jay-Z, I mean, it is kind of weird that you would want to, you know, set an image for yourself that's like Basquiat. I mean, it's like, let him be who he was. You know, like, what's your reasoning behind it? Are you really trying to, you know, channel his spirit in your own craft? I mean, because it's clear as day what he was doing with Biggie. That was Biggie's chain in that first clip that he wore when he was doing certain albums. I'm not sure if he does it today. You know, I don't know. But, you know, it even makes you think about the thing he did back. You know, he just kind of spawned his hair and started doing the whole free forming into wicks kind of thing out of nowhere. But back when he did that video, well, it wasn't really a video. The thing with Marina Abramovich, he didn't have any hair back then. And, you know, that went viral all over the place, because people was like, wow, you know, Jay-Z involved with this high witch, like, who knows the kind of rituals and things that she has taught him. So, you know, then, you know, you take it all the way back to the Do What Thou Wilt shirt. So, you know, he's into Aleister Crowley, because they all have to you know, pledge their allegiance. Even Basquiat and Warhol. Check this out, y'all. Even them. Y'all already know what this is. This the X-Pose. This is the Osiris Risen symbolism, ritual. They did it too. This is why they both were sacrificed, you know, ritualistic. It was all over the place. And, you know, like I was saying, Jay-Z, he knows the studies of Aleister Crowley. I mean, Marina Abramovich. He's channeling spirits. He could have channeled the spirit of Basquiat, and maybe it involved, you know, the image. Maybe it involved turning himself sort of into him. I mean, they kind of look alike, especially with the hair. So we don't know what kind of ritual he did and why, you know, would you want to channel his spirit? I mean, Basquiat became a rock star in his world, especially when you die at 27, when you join that club, you're famous forever. In a sense, just like the video we just did yesterday, in a sense, you're famous forever now. You know, you have joined a club that will live on forever. But when I saw this photo, this confirmed everything. They were down too. They sold their souls for this. You cannot mistake this right here. Now, here's something I want to read real quick. It just kind of goes into the background of Basquiat and both of their deaths, right? So, says an artist whose roots in graffiti made his work stand out among others, left a legacy of stunning paintings. But his sudden popularity in his 20s caused him to spiral into a drug habit that eventually cost him his life. His death, says the BBC, cemented his status as an art world rock star. Basquiat first found fame as a graffiti artist under the name Samo. He and his friend, Al Diaz, went around New York tagging buildings in Lower Manhattan. Soon, he was selling paintings and gaining fame. But by the time he was 27, he developed a dependence on heroin, and he died of a drug overdose in 1988. Now, his death day was on a Friday. He was 27 years old. And it says, even before his overdose, Basquiat already dealt with tragedy. At a young age, Basquiat was hit by a car and had to get his spleen removed. His parents' marriage broke down when he was 7, and his mother suffered from depression. Basquiat moved in with his father in Brooklyn and eventually to Puerto Rico, but struggled with an abusive parental relationship. He ran away from home at 15, living in Washington Square Park. There, he began doing drugs like LSD. To support himself, he began painting shirts, which then led to his graffiti and art career. At the height of his career, Basquiat held shows in both New York and Los Angeles and was selling paintings for more than $10,000. His sudden fame at 20 thrust Basquiat into a different world, including the Studio 54 set and his wild parties led by Andy Warhol. He became great friends with Warhol, who, according to the New York Times, tried to wean Basquiat off drugs. Warhol died in 1987, which left Basquiat adrift. Mind you, Warhol's death day was on a Sunday, y'all. He died on a Sunday. We'll get into that a little bit more in a second. So in a bid to withdraw from heroin, he went to Maui, where he would have no access to the drug. But he ultimately fell off the wagon, going on to say that he was not looked after by the people who needed to look after him during his time. And today, Basquiat artwork sells for millions, including a $48.8 million piece of art sold at an auction. Music artists like Jay-Z, Malcolm Moore, and Frank Ocean have all referenced him in his songs. But it was the fame that drove him to take drugs and eventually took his life. Now that is crazy that one of his paintings sold for basically $50 million. Insane. compared to the fact that when he got famous at first at 20, he was selling them for $10,000 a piece. Just still, in that time, you know, it's a lot of money for a 20-year-old artist. And now check this out. Andy Warhol. He survived a shooting that damaged 9 of his organs and put him in the hospital for 2 months in 1968. But it was a simple gallbladder surgery that led to his death on February 22nd, 1987. I can't get over how Andy Warhol looks. I remember somebody in the comments said, Taryn Manning aged like milk. This guy aged worse. he was only 58 years old. It's like, he wasn't that old. Wow, man. What made them become an item? You know what I'm saying? But hey, I guess it's deeper than how someone looks. Like I said, anyways, y'all, it says that Andy Warhol's death in 1987 was a somber conclusion to a life marked by celebrity. He passed away unexpectedly at age 58 after what was meant to be a simple surgery. Now, before even reading any more, that sounds like a bunch of different sacrifices we've heard in the industry. A bunch of them. Prodigy died choking on an egg, supposedly, in the hospital. Remember Static Major, who wrote one of Lil Wayne's biggest hits. They sacrificed him. He died off of a mistake. I think a catheter through his neck or something. He died, you know, basically off something that was supposed to be a simple surgery. Remember what Bruh Man said off of the Martin show. Remember there was an interview where he talked about Tommy. Remember Tommy went in for knee surgery and died. Think about that. Knee surgery. And Bruh Man was like, he said he had a knee problem. He said, I ain't going to get no knee surgery no more after that. Think about Joan Rivers. She went in, you know, after she said the thing with Obama being sweet. She went in for a simple surgery and died. Same thing with Andy Warhol, y'all. He went in for a gallbladder surgery and he died February 22nd, Sunday, 1987, at the age of 58. So ultimately, I think Basquiat was one of those guys who didn't realize he sold his soul. You know, because living that life, you know, without directly knowing what a person did, you could see it just gradually happens. Eventually, you become an idol. Kind of like how Kurt Cobain said in that last Rolling Stone interview that he didn't want to be an idol anymore. He didn't want to make music for people who didn't understand him. And if you think about it, all of the people, Jim Morrison, Kurt, you know, that died at 27 years old, they were all like these, you know, spirits that people didn't understand. And they were on drugs heavy. Their demise was mostly, you know, chalked up as, you know, fame, drug, rock star, this and that. Like, it's all the same story that really makes them live on forever. Because, you know, what do they say? If you want to become a legend, you know, you just die young. It's pretty simple. You know, legends die young. A part of me, when you want to think about it on a deeper level, I sometimes feel like it's a contract. You know, I don't think it's just a 27 club myth where these people who, you know, we're basically turned into idols forever, fame forever. I think it was a part of a contract, you know, even if they didn't quite know it, you know, or maybe some of them do actually agree to it. And, you know, they know their time is going to come at the age of 27, or at least, you know, the people who were chosen to create that club. Feel like it's a part of the contract with their soul. You know, you'll live forever. I mean, think about it. I think the highest selling painting of Basquiat was over $100 million, y'all. A billionaire purchased one of his paintings for over $100 million. I don't even know if Basquiat could imagine his paintings selling for this much money 30 years later. Come on now. He is literally, he's famous forever. And it came with that deal, with that contract. Like, we talk about this thing with the connection to the spirit world and being famous and having, you know, that magic and that spirit, those demons, having that help to insert you amongst people who will be famous forever, even when they are not here on this earth. That is very powerful. And while we are here on this earth, we won't, you know, we will continue to hear about it. Like, that spirit of Basquiat will continue on. That spirit of Kurt Cobain will continue on. Jim Morrison, it will continue on. Amy Winehouse, you know, like, they will forever be talked about for generations to come on this earth. And it's kind of crazy to think about it, you know. But the people who took that contract and, you know, sold their souls, they won't be here for it. You know, they won't be here for it, but they will forever live on. And just to think about that is dark, man. That's top of the line demonic, you know. Trade your life to be famous forever, even when you're not here anymore. I'm good. I'd rather live till I'm 194 than trade my life at the age of 27 just to be famous when I'm not here. I ain't even here no more. But he bought my painting for $100 million and I can't see nothing of it. I'm good. I could never be tricked into that type of deal. Man. But all right, y'all. You know, video might be a little shorter than usual on a Sunday, but didn't want to drag it out. Just wanted to kind of, you know, stick to the meat and potatoes of this video, as they say. So with that being said, y'all let me know what y'all think about this one. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Y'all already know more content is on the way. Let me know what y'all want to see on the channel as usual. And with that being said, y'all, it's Black Balloon, and I'm going to see y'all soon. All right. I'm out.